A Woman Rises in America. This message was preached by Brother Emmaus on Tuesday, the 20th of February, 2007, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos. Good evening, church. The Lord bless you all. It is nice to see you all. We thank God for His goodness towards us. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Emmaus prayed. We will turn our Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That is the Mediterranean Sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. That is a 10-horned beast, a beast Daniel also saw in chapter 7. It is the old Roman Empire in its broken-off fragments, reconstituted from the European Union at the end of time. But look at verse 11. There you see another beast, distinct and separate from the first beast. I say that because John saw two beasts in this chapter. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast. So this is projecting a different world power, distinct from the first. Are you with me? And I beheld another beast. So it is not the same beast with the one we saw in verse 1. It is separate, it is distinct. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. But the beast with 10 horns came out of the sea. But this one came out of the earth. The first beast came out of the sea, and the sea constitutes waters. And in prophecy, as revealed in Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, speaks of peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. It is like the sea of humanity. The 10-horned beast gives you the Roman-based empire, in its end-time restored geographical entity, called the European Union. Of course, its geographical boundaries has exceeded the boundaries it had in times of old, by virtue of the fact that there are people, nations, that today have joined the European Union, who were not originally part of the 10 horns. But the current or future European Union membership does not change the identity, nor does it affect the prophetic role of the Roman beast, which is the fourth and last beast Daniel saw in chapter 7, of the four beast empires, which started with the Babylonian Empire and ends with the Roman Empire in its end-time reconstituted entity called the European Union. However, my focus is on the second beast John saw, the beast of verse 11 of Revelation chapter 13. It came out of the earth, and the earth here in prophecy is the new world. It is not the new world which Apostle Peter spoke about in the scriptures, which is the millennial kingdom. It is the new world as is humanly and historically applied to a continent discovered by Christopher Columbus, when as yet, the old world did not even realize that such a continent existed. And that is none other than America. That is what is commonly called the new world. I was asked this question in India, when we were dealing with the seven thunders in the book of Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 6, and we looked at the stand of Jesus Christ on earth, in the spirit, in the form of an archangel. He first put one leg on the sea, that is on the old world, which is the right leg, before he put the left leg on the earth, that is on the new world. And I said, there is a reason why he did that. There is a reason why his right foot was placed first on the sea, before he placed his left foot on the earth. So, when we consider the dealing of the Spirit of God in that prophetic hour, this leg placing shows that the manifestation of God is first expressed in the old world, before it is expressed in the new world. Brothers and sisters, it is a symbol. It is a sign. He is not doing it for the sake of it, as if he has nothing better to do, and he decided to put one leg here first and one leg there, without a meaning. No, it has significance. There is a reason for the prophetic projection. Otherwise, it would not have been written like that in symbolic prophecy. And neither would Christ have given such a prophetic demonstration in the Spirit. And I said, the right leg he put first on the sea signifies the preeminence of Christ's prophetic projection or manifestation to the old world, before he manifests himself in the new world as well, in that short interval of time preceding the rapture. It does. It shows that the revelation of Christ in that hour is first expressed in the old world, before it is expressed in the new world, or within the same proximity of time, because the voice of continuity is coming forth from the old world. Precisely. And when we talk of the old world, in relation to the sea. In the prophecy of the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10, you are looking not only at the geographical area of the Roman-based empire, you are also looking at the nations of the world as it existed then, which was known to man: Europe, Africa, Middle East, Asia, and Australia. But as at that time, we did not even know there was another continent called America. But the truth is, Christ put his left foot subsequently on the earth, although it is all within a short proximity of time. And if he speaks of multitudes and plurality of nations and peoples and tongues, of being a distinct geographical entity established away from and distinct from the area of the world covered by the prophetic sea, where the first beast rose up, then you are looking at a separate and distinct continent far removed from the Roman-based world. You are looking precisely at the American continent, and it is referred to as the New World. And although the New World takes in North America, Central America, and South America, but in relation to Bible prophecy, Revelation chapter 13, you are looking strictly at North America. No, it is not the New World Jesus Christ is going to establish on earth in the millennium, when the old world order passes away. It is the New World according to the coinage of man, in reference to America, the new found land. It is mere language. But it is a new world that was discovered when the old world, as men call it, did not even realize there was another continent where people lived. Because at that time, it was absolutely a wilderness, being unconquered, undeveloped. Like I said, a precious brother asked me the question in India: "Brother Amos, how can you say America is a new world, when the new world is what Jesus is going to usher in?" We have to realize that sometimes we cannot tell what kind of questions will come, because we never can imagine how people will take different things. And that is okay, for I am not knocking the question. Actually, I am glad the brother was able to bring that to me, because that was a stumbling for him. That was a problem for him, for he is a sincere and a humble brother, whom I believe loves the Lord, and earnestly desires to know the truth. He felt, "How can Brother Amos call America the New World? Is that the new world we are looking for?" He felt like that because he was looking at 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 13. But all you need to do is to look in the dictionary and look for the new world. I have the Chambers Dictionary. You can go into Webster's Dictionary and look for the word new, and under new, look for new world. It will tell you it is America. But that is the new world as in a newly discovered continent, which discovery came later in time, when the old world, as a world we knew it, and as it existed then, subsisted. So I had to explain it to the brother, and he was satisfied and settled. We just have to realize that when we call America the new world, the Bible did not call America the new world. That is man's language. That is the word man historically coined to apply to a continent found over 5,000 years after man had existed on this planet, and before it was discovered in A.D. 1492. God had to give grace to one man first to invent the printing press in Germany, so that the press can be the means of the dissemination of the news of the discovery of a new continent, news that would be carried around the old world, a world ruled by the tyranny of the Church of Rome, in order to enable God's people to flee to America, to worship God in the liberty of religion. Brothers and sisters, they heard that there was a new land, a virgin land, and that land there was for free, for it was for free grabs in that day. And people from all over Europe, from the shores of Amsterdam in Holland, Ireland, Britain, France, Germany, etc., all sailed to the new land, the newfound continent. It is America. Are you with me? At that time, the continent had not yet been conquered, and was as such a virgin land, for it was not yet developed. It was therefore a wilderness, and in fact it was the wilderness. For in 96 AD, when John saw it, it was a wilderness. That is the nation of America, as also depicted in Revelation chapter 12 verse 6 and verses 14 to 16. And the woman, the mortal but spiritual element of the nation of Israel, fled into the wilderness, North America, where she hath a place prepared of God. That gives us America in prophecy at this same time, her nation God will deal with in serious judgment in order to prepare her for her prophetic role. For her preparation is strictly by divine judgment, a judgment which is hanging over her head today. A judgment God will use to clean house, that they, a people, the American people, should feed her there 1,260 days. That is, during the last 3.5 years of the 70th week of Daniel. Dot unto the woman were given to wings of a great eagle. The message of the modern-day Jewish prophet of Revelation chapter 11, that she might fly into the wilderness, America, into a place or a nation God prepared specifically for her, to accommodate and take care of her, according to verse 6, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, for 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent, and the serpent, the Pope of Rome, the Antichrist, the man of sin, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, that is that she should be killed by the flood of persecution issued out against her from the middle of the 70th week. And the earth in this prophecy, the American nation, which gives us the United States and Canada, help the woman, and the earth in this prophecy, the geographical area constituting North America, opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood, that is, called off the bluff of the Antichrist, which the dragon, that is Satan, embedded in the Roman-based empire, the European Union under the leadership of the Pope of Rome, cast out of his mouth. This prophecy gives you the role of America in prophecy, at the same time, in relation to the spiritual nation of Israel. America is the wilderness in prophecy, and she is the prophetic earth of Revelation chapter 12 and 13. Saints of God, it is necessary to reveal the identity of the Lamb Beast as we are dealing with America in prophecy, particularly as we will also see the judgment that is coming just ahead for her, in order to get her into the shape necessary to receive the woman of Revelation chapter 12. The chief apostle to this Laodicean church age, Raymond Jackson, was used of God to break down America in scriptural prophecy, thereby giving us the understanding of the role of America in prophecy, in relation to Revelation chapters 12 and 13, at the same time. Brothers and sisters, Revelation chapter 13 says in verse 11, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. That beast is America. That is the nation that occupies the continent of North America." And church, in this prophecy, as I earlier stated, you are not even looking at South or Central America. Are you listening to me? You are looking strictly at North America in this prophecy. Yes, when you talk of the New World, brothers and sisters, it takes in the whole of the Americas. North America, Central America, and South America. That is true. But we are looking strictly at the Lamb Beast. And we are also looking strictly at the geographical area that constitutes the prophetic earth of Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, or the area where the Lamb Beast came out. The prophetic earth in this verse is North America, and it is made up of two nations, the United States and Canada. That is what makes up the Lamb Beast, because these two nations are joined together in prophecy. They both make up the Lamb Beast, which came out of and make up the prophetic earth of verse 11. But like I said, the Bible does not say they constitute the New World. The New World is the coinage of man. It is not the language of the Bible. As such, people should be able to make a distinction between when we are using the language of man to refer to a continent discovered later in time, from when we are using the New World in relation to the prophecy of Peter. Are you with me? Concerning the millennium, when God will judge this old world we are living in presently, and the world will change. And what is this old world that will change? It is this old world order, man's social, political, religious, and economic order, which really gives you man's way of doing things, fallen man's way of ruling the earth, fallen man's government. Everything will be wiped out clean, and God will start afresh. But that just shows you. Sometimes you cannot imagine the kind of questions or thoughts people will draw from something. So there is no way to prepare for every question. But the only thing is that true revelation anchors a believer, and every question that is a Bible question will have a Bible answer. Once you have a revelatory understanding, you can lay issues out, scripturally. Revelation makes the difference. And it is strictly by the grace of God we have it. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and, conjunction, he spake as a dragon. This is a lamb beast with two horns. And when you look at this lamb with its two horns, one horn is smaller than the other. Are you with me? The horns refer to the two nations that make up the lamb beast, the United States and Canada. Remember, this is America in prophecy. She is the nation that came out of the prophetic earth. That is why the prophet to this age, William Branham, often remarked, America has 13 stripes and 13 stars. In its beginning, it started with 13 colonies and is found in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Its number is 13. America is a lamb beast, a beast with two horns. The smaller horn represents Canada, whilst the bigger horn represents the United States. When Brother Branham was preaching on the Laodicean Church Age in December of 1960, he laid out the truth of the two nations, for they form one nation in prophecy. He stated, there is no salvation in this nation. There is no salvation in any nation. Salvation is in Jesus Christ, and Him alone. That's right. Now I am thankful for America. I would rather live here than any place in the world outside of Canada. Canada and the United States is twins. We know that. Neighboring nations, wonderful place. But I believe I would rather live here than anywhere I know because it is my home. Right there he tells us Canada and the United States are twins, and they really are. Because in prophecy, they are twins, for they are joined together as one entity in prophecy. They make up the lamb beast. As such, the ten-horned beast gives you the Roman world power, whilst the lamb beast gives you America. And church, it is the only remaining superpower on earth today. But it is going to come down, and Europe will go it alone, and will be the superpower, the great industrial giant. As such, the American dollar will crash, and the world's economic stabilizing currency will be the euro. And the euro is already a much stronger currency than the dollar. But saints of God, look at this lamb beast, America. It did not start out speaking as a dragon. It started out with the nature of a lamb, because God allowed the continent to be discovered. But before it was discovered, the American Indians were there. They did not do any good to the land. The land was a wilderness, undeveloped, and all they knew was to worship all sorts of gods, all sorts of devils, and live an extremely primitive life. Very primitive. They were steeped in serious voodoo, and stuff like that. And those were precisely the very things the Canaanites were doing in the Old Testament before God drove them out, using the Jews to accomplish it. And God gave Canaan's land to Israel, and told them, drive out all those people, kill every one of them, and don't follow their ways. I am driving them out because of their evil ways. And God gave the land of the Canaanites to Israel, the children of Abraham through Isaac. God did the same thing in America, a land that was ruled by these Red Indians and all the other American Indian tribes. God took it away from them, pushed them out of the place, wiped them out, and He gave the land to the new immigrants, who now constitute the American people. I have to point out therefore that America and Israel are not only joined in prophecy, they both have a similar beginning. Their history is similar, because they are two nations that are founded by God to serve His own divine purpose. Saints of God, so we see America in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 13, projected as a lamb nation. That is because America is a nation that started out on Christian principles. The founding fathers of that nation, men like George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, they were men that feared God, men who founded the nation strictly on Christian principles. Even the American armies were Christianized. They were instructed by George Washington to go to church with their weapons by their side. They were forbidden from drinking or smoking, and homosexuality was unheard of in the army in the day when they were fighting the American Revolutionary Wars of Independence from Great Britain in the 1770s. George Washington would go on his knees, bare knees, in the dead of winter, in the snow, and pray with great earnestness, calling on God to divinely help them. The president of a nation could go on his knees and look to a higher being, a higher power, his God and Maker, and acknowledge him, and give him worship, and give him honor, and call upon him for inspiration, for wisdom, for leadership, for strength, for sustenance, for provision, for victory, and for direction. What a nation that would be, and what a nation America was in its beginning. And God blessed a nation and set it on high among the nations, and she became a very great nation, the envy of other nations, because of the fear of God. She flourished and prospered tremendously, and became a super nation. God was the secret of her success, the secret of her prosperity. But it is a different picture today, pathetically. Very, very different. It was a nation founded on liberty, not liberty for criminals and gays and lesbians, and for every moral pervert there is, and liberty for every devil roaming the streets. Are you listening to me? It was not a nation founded on liberty for every devil, every right you can think of on this earth, no matter how demonic. Unto church, there are no more spiritual principles and no moral principles or anything to sustain that nation. Because the devil came in through the civil rights movement led by preacher Martin Luther King. The devil used him to open the door to all these demons, waiting for access into the American society, bringing in the world of rights, all sorts of rights, no matter how demonic and evil it may be. Church, in the beginning, it looked right, fighting for emancipation, fighting for equality, the way they went about it. And they were with liberty to fight for the abolition of slavery, for its gross inhumanity. Nobody in his right mind can condemn that. But the real question is, how do you go by it? That is the issue. The wherewithal has to be right. They should have fought simply for the abolition of slavery, for its inhumanity. But when they brought the cause under civil liberties or civil rights, thereby setting in place the rights movement with the civil rights movement, the devil was closely following it with every other right. And before you knew it, here came the human rights, here came the women's rights, here came the gay rights, and every ridiculous and sinful right you can think of, every right from hell. And the devil was on the loose in America, and America cannot contain it any longer. Because it has opened its door to Satan, and hell has been let loose in America. No wonder, little children pack shotguns and enter schools to cause mayhem, killing innocent pupils and teachers by the dozens. Yeah, they think it is education they need. No, it is not more education needed, but God. God has been completely pushed out. Today the politicians are as crooked can be, and all they think of is what they can gain, without the fear of God. America, your day of reckoning is at hand. But alas, she cannot see the handwriting on the wall. Revelation chapter 13 from verse 11 reads, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him." That lets us see the lamb beast has taken on a different spiritual outlook, for it is now, at the end time, precisely in the very image of Western Europe, the Roman beast, God-hating and imperialistic. And that is precisely how Europe is today, very anti-God. America's role continues, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. That is to go along with Europe, the ten horns. Remember, she is instrumental in rebuilding Europe, for America single-handedly paid the bill for the rebuilding and restoring of Europe after the Second World War, when Europe lay in ruins from coast to coast through the martial aid America gave. John continues in his revelation, "Whose deadly wound was healed. And he, America, doeth great wonders, scientific, military wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." This we have seen, especially during the Gulf War, a war fought by America for the liberation of Kuwait, where missiles and such stuff were fired from military jets in the skies, hidden from human view. All you will see is a ball or torch of fire, belting down from heaven, mesmerizing the whole world, militarily, showing the awesome power and supremacy of the American elite forces. There was no other way John the Beloved Apostle could relate to such way back in 96 AD, other than to describe it as the miracle of fire, which the second beast of Revelation chapter 13 could bring down from heaven. because in his days they had no such thing or ability. They did not even have a gun, let alone have missiles. Think of it. He being transported in a spiritual vision into the modern times to view this could only call it a fire miracle. It is prophetic language. Verse 14. And deceiveth, or influenced, them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. That is by means of a high-tech military scientific power, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, that is in the sight of the ten-horned beast, which is Western Europe, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which hath a wound by a sword, and did live. The image is the WCC or the World Council of Churches. And he had power to give life, economic life or financial muscle, unto the image of the beast, that the image, not America, but that the image of the beast itself, the WCC, should both speak in the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, and cause, the image should cause, that as many as will not worship or join, the image of the beast should be killed. When we consider the next verse, verse 16, we must realize that although the mark of the beast will be in operation in the last 3.5 years of the last week of Daniel, under the direction of the man of sin, the Antichrist, the Pope of Rome of that era, really it is the lamb beast that introduced credit cards, which helps Europe to develop a cashless society, which the Antichrist, the beast of verse 17, takes over in the era of time, and institutes the mark of the beast, the 666 mark. This definitely gives you the role of America at the end time, in prophecy. How she has been responsible for the rebuilding and restoring of Europe, the ten-horned beast, and the latter's economic development. America therefore has been used to lay the foundation for the prophetic role the ten-horned beast will accomplish at this end time. It is obvious her accomplishments went to her head, and becoming exceedingly arrogant, she lost all sense of appreciation of the God that founded her and made her great, for God made her what she is today. Now she speaks just as the false beast. She speaks as a dragon. Saints of God, America started out as a lamb nation because it guaranteed freedom of religion. People were free to run away from the tyranny and the hold of the Church of Rome to America to serve God acceptably with a clear conscience without being forced or killed and tortured in order to submit to the Church of Rome. And that is why God founded that nation on Christian principles, a haven for God's oppressed people, a nation guaranteeing liberty. Liberty, not for every devil, because liberty has its parameters. I say that because liberty has been twisted today. It is now more liberty for the criminal than for the law-abiding citizen. It is more liberty for the gays, rapists, and the homosexuals than for a family man who believes in the sanctity of marriage. And family values and familyhood, the home, has been broken down in America. Men now marry men, and women marry women, legally and in the open, an abomination before God. Even Sodom and Gomorrah did not go to such an extent. No wonder their divorce rate is more than the other nations put together. What a shame. Now, hell's angels and all the gangs from hell roam and control the streets of America in the evenings. Saints of God, it started out as a Christian nation, founded on Christian principles, a God-fearing, morally upright nation. She even bore the gospel light for the whole world. But now, pathetically, they have stripped away prayers from the schools, stripped away the Ten Commandments, and stripped away everything that is of God. They do not want God in their public places or in their talk shows. They teach school children evolution rather than God's divine creation of the universe, and sex education rather than morality and godliness, thereby turning babies into mothers and bringing about unwanted pregnancies and consequently abortion on a phenomenal scale. They even want to take out the words "In God we trust" from the American dollar, and if they will not be under God, they will go under, and they are definitely going under one of these days. Thus saith the Lord by the prophet of God to this age, and thus saith the revelation of the word of God. The signs are there for those that have an eye to see and an ear to hear. 9/11 was only a wake-up call, but she is too deaf, too high-minded, and too heady, too set in her ways to hear anything. She is speaking tonight as a dragon. And that is why, tonight, the whole world is sick and tired of the American nation. And that is the truth. I do not say this out of hatred or out of a personal motive. I love that nation. I have precious brothers and sisters in that nation. God has his seeds in that nation as well. It is a place that God has blessed tremendously. And God has used that nation to give the world a lot of material things that are for the comfort of humanity. A lot of things they have invented and discoveries they have made. Thank God for that nation. Thank God for America. But church, it is a shame when a people would forget their maker, and America turned against God and became a nation of God haters. And that is exactly what it has now become, a cage of every foul and evil spirit. Since, tonight, she is speaking as a dragon, being anti-God, and they want to control the nations of the world. She has taken on the spirit of imperialism. They want to rule the world, and they are ruling the nations of the earth, and they want to determine how every nation should govern herself. Well, I will say this evening. Democracy is good, but it is not the key to man's problems. It is definitely not the solution to the enormous problems of this world. Democracy has failed woefully. The solution to man's problems is Jesus the Christ. He is the only solution. He is the only answer to the problems of the world, the only solution to the problems of man. And it is his coming alone that will change everything. It is. The issue, however, is this. You cannot force any nation to imbibe democracy. You cannot do that. Because God has not given rulership of this planet to any individual nation or to any group of men running the affairs of America. He has not. God alone rules this planet. And when you usurp the authority of God by taking on imperialism, rather than minding the business of your nation, you will get a slap on the face. And that is precisely what is coming down the road for this nation. Tonight, America is speaking as a dragon, coercing every government, bullying everybody, wanting to have a way and say in everything, telling people how to rule themselves, telling nations how to run their own affairs. And they cannot even run their own affairs back in Washington. It is just so corrupt, it is utterly bankrupt, for it is obviously beyond redemption. That is a bitter fact. Brothers and sisters, it is a nation where presidents can stand before the whole nation and before the world and lie point blank. Is what I just stated a lie? Did they not have a president by the name of Bill Clinton? Did he not lie live on television to the whole nation in Monica Lewinsky's case? He denied knowing her, but he slept with a woman. And he could talk to the world, "I do not know this woman. I never knew her." And they began to dig, and found out he not only knew her, he really knew her. And they brought out all the facts. Yet, the American people said they did not care for that, showing they no longer care for morality or honesty in leadership, because of their almighty dollar. During Bill Clinton's era, the economy seemed to be booming, and the people had more dollars in their pockets. That, to them, is all that matters, because they worship the dollar. In the heat of the Monica Lewinsky scandal, Bill Clinton's approval rating sharply rose to about 70%. Not only that, but months later, in the midterm elections of 1998, despite the threat of Congress to impeach Bill Clinton for lying to cover up his immorality, he actually gained more seats in Congress, the American leadership thereby approving the crookedness of the president. I have to say, Lord have mercy. It is obvious. Christian principles and morality no more matter in America. Moreover, Christians, law-abiding citizens have now become the target of the state, and are branded as religious fanatics, the enemies of progress, because a lot of their leaders in Georgia are homosexuals, moral perverts. Tell me how a nation like that can continue to prosper and escape the wrath of God. Simply look through time, and which nation was like that and escape the judgment of God? None. Precisely. And still that is because she rejected the gospel light God sent to her at this evening time through the prophet. Year 1956 was a tipping point for her, for that was the decisive year in which she turned down the message of the hour. And the prophet declared in the name of the Lord, "She is coming down." Brothers and sisters, that is what the American nation has degenerated into, a nation where they can lie and not blink an eyelid, a nation where there is no more justice. Her political leadership is corrupt through and through. Saints of God, I have no better word for America than the words of the prophet himself. Look at what he says concerning this nation when he was preaching on Israel. On the 26th of March, 1953, the people are in the spirit of the last days, just like they was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, unconcerned, don't care, walk around, and everything else. And this American people is the worst on the face of the earth. Heady, high-minded, incontinent, fierce, and despises and know it all. If there is any place in the world, with my Bible over my heart, and God knowing that I, looking down on me, and know I may have to stand before him before morning. If I had to say so, the place needs missionaries worse than any place in the world, is USA, the United States of America. The greatest bunch of heathens that I know of anywhere is in America. Heathen means unbeliever. Listen to this again. This is in his message titled Revelation chapter 4 of January the 8th, 1961. This America is the prostitute of the nations. That's exactly what she is. And she's going to be worse than ever now. She is coming to her end. The Bible speaks of her doom, tells how she's going to be. America, low down, rotten, filthy, no good. That's exactly right. She's been a great nation. She's carried the gospel message. What makes her the way she is? Because she's turned down the gospel message and rejected the truth. She's horrible. She's got it coming. Don't worry. I seen it in the vision as thou seest the Lord. It's coming. She's going to pay for her sins. That is the prophet on America. Think about it. It used to be a nation with morals and human dignity and respect. It is no more. They will trample upon you, destroy all the nations, in order to get some oil. And that is the truth. They do not mind running down a nation just to get some oil. No, they will not tell you it is because of fossil fuel. That is oil. And the crookedness that is going on is incredible. The World Bank, which is controlled by the United States, promised Sao Tome and Guinea-Bissau, two nations in Africa, electric power generation. They were going to help them with power generation. It has been 15 years since they made that promise. A few days ago, the whole nation was in total darkness. Church, then here came individual investors, entrepreneurs, from a fellow African nation, coming to invest in the country's energy sector, to generate electricity for the nation, to bail it out of its pathetic state. And when the officials of the World Bank saw that the investors, with the backing of the government of the nation, began to put things in place to make that a reality, they said to their leaders, if you don't stop the power project, all the yearly financial aid we give you, we will cut it off, and you will be on your own. So the president of Sao Tome and all the ministers in his cabinet were shaking, running up and down the place, wondering, what do we do? They had to be troubled because they need the financial aid from the World Bank. It is America controlling it. It is America controlling the World Bank. So here they were running up and down the whole place. What are we going to do? Just because a bunch of crooks in the World Bank are not humble enough to apologize for their failed promises, but they want to save face at the expense of a whole nation. Lord have mercy. So therefore, they do not mind pulling down the nation. They do not mind leaving them in darkness, without electric light. Because of the ego of some men, judgment is coming. Because of the ego of some men, they want to run down nations. And they told them, stop it, dismantle everything or we will take away every aid. Those poor nations, what do they have in Sao Tome and Guinea-Bissau? For them to call off the bluff of the World Bank. So today they cannot have electricity because the World Bank says they cannot have it. What a crooked and cruel world. And they say they want the progress of Africa. My foot. They are the ones that mortgage the progress of Africa when it comes to trade competition with the West. That is a notorious fact. But the irredeemably corrupt and extremely visionless leadership of African rulers has not helped matters. but made matters worse, for it has only impoverished the people, subjecting them to abject poverty. Even the financial aid the Western world give Africa, more often than not, end up in the pocket of our political leaders who in the main are Shirog's greedy goats. But let us leave that as it is. Saints of God, you have to realize America's judgment is coming. Look at what Brother Branham said concerning her judgment. Now then, after that, I turned and looked, and I saw this United States burning like a smother. Rocks had been blown up, and it was burning like a heap of fire and logs, or something that just set it afire. And I looked as far as I could see, and she had been blown up. And then the vision left me. Church, the judgment of America is coming, and God will judge it. It is just a little message tonight. Brothers and sisters, we are living at the end of the world. The way things are going is at an alarming rate. This world is so degenerate, it is so corrupt, so warped, so bankrupt. Satan is the one in government. Satan is the one in the presidential houses and in prime minister's domains. He is the one ruling the nations of this world. This is Satan's Eden, and the things they do. Look at our country, Nigeria. We are having elections in a few months' time. If they do not kill the vice president, Abubakar Atiku, it will be the grace of God in the way they are going about it. And I am not holding before the man, but there is a right way to do things, and there is a wrong way. Only in Africa can leaders do things like barbarians. It is so barbaric in the way they are going about it. They have an election, but there is no election coming, for it is election. You are not going to have an election. No, I am not saying they are not going to vote on that day, but your vote amounts to nothing. Because our President Obasanjo will sit in the presidential villa, Aso Rock, with his choice men, his kitchen staff, and they are going to determine who would be governor, and who even goes to the House of Assembly, not to talk of the House of Representatives. Church, at the end of the day, it is in Aso Rock they will determine who will be governor in every state of this nation, and it will be according to the will of Obasanjo. That man is only in civilian regalia. He is a military tyrant. He is an autocrat, a despot. I have never seen a president who must have his way on everything. He will disrupt the National Assembly. Are you listening to me? He will disrupt his party. He will disrupt Egbeland itself, for the chieftaincy title he wants to preserve for himself when he leaves office. He really wants to make himself God over his people. And he is not. He is as corrupt as the people he is judging. Obasanjo's anti-corruption crusade, my foot. Do not let him fool you. Saints of God, the devil is behind every government, but we are seeking a city to come. We are seeking a city whose maker and builder is God. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. I am tired of this evil world. Brothers and sisters, what an audacity it is, what an effrontery, that these same leaders want to come back to rule Nigeria, and we are still in darkness in year 2007. We do not have stable light, and they say it is because of our population. India is a billion in population, and they have a relatively stable light. What right have they to want to come back? It is an insult on our intelligence, but church, it is no better in the American society. The freedom and the prosperity they are enjoying today is what their forefathers achieved for them. Yes, that is exactly right. And that is why Brother Jackson had been warning them, the prosperity you are having today, you didn't turn it. It never was like that, and things are going to change. And since, things are going to change. Why? Because America has forgotten God. She is now speaking as a dragon, taking on the very nature, the very characteristics and attributes of the first beast before her, the beast of Revelation chapter 13, verse 1, bullying and oppressing the world. And America has gotten herself entangled in a war they cannot get out of. They said it is because of chemical weapons, but they found no such weapons in Iraq to date. They went and got themselves entangled in a needless war, and they cannot get out. Yet the chief apostle, Brother Raymond Jackson, warned George Bush twice in a letter not to go to war with Iraq, but he would not listen. Church, President Bush is going to come before the Senate to ask for the approval of another God knows how many billion dollars to sustain their war against the insurgents in Iraq. That is not for a year. America is killing itself. Oh, may God shake these people. But it is too late. The handwriting is on the wall. Brethren, I was reading something, and Brother Branham dropped one thought. And I said, could it be this? Could this be it? I do not know. I am only thinking. Church, when he was preaching on the Laodicean church age, do you know what he said? In December 11, 1960, he said, at least this great nation is going to strike a wall that's going to blow it to bits. See, now that's pretty close. It's awful close. And I could be wrong, I'm predicting. I ask, if it is so, could it be the Iraq war? Because the issue is dividing the nation, as the soldiers are being slaughtered every day for nothing. They are not dying in military warfare, but from Islamic suicide bombers. And they send more troops every day to die in Iraq, shattering the peace and the joy of their families, their loved ones back home. Yet, it is obvious they do not have the solution. They do not. And they are not winning the war against terrorism. If you see the carnage going on in Iraq, it is hell. Man has lost value, completely. I said man has lost value for man. Human life means nothing to these devils in Iraq. If you see the way they're blowing up people, man has lost value for man, completely. What a world we live in. Brothers and sisters, that is nothing but the rule of Satan. Oh my! That is how suicide bombers, Islamic terrorists, went to blow up another train going from India to Pakistan. Do you know how many people were mangled, lives snuffed out like that? This is truly Satan's Eden. And on top of that, look at how God is using diseases, famine, natural disasters, mudslides, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, soon armies, belting the nations of the world, particularly in the Pacific, in Asia. And thousands and hundreds of thousands are being rendered homeless. Commercial airplanes and jets are dropping down every day like a pack of dominoes around the world. Church, it is the end. So, I ask, could it be the war? That is really the situation God will use to set something in motion. The Iraqi situation is like a quagmire. But could it be the tipping factor, a situation that will tip America over the brink, and things will snap? I do not know. But one thing is certain, we are in the days when God is going to judge America. That is certain. In 1933, God showed the prophet seven visions. I will tell you what they are. He said, I was just a boy, 1933, in June. I was on my way to Sunday school, because he was at that time a pastor in a Baptist church. And when I was getting my Bible, a vision came before me, and I was stopped in the floor. And here was what it said. It is on yellow paper, and will be printed in the Herald of Faith right away, because most all of it is fulfilled. 1933, think of this now. Many, many years ago, about 28 years ago that had taken place. He saw seven visions. Let us consider the first one. Watch how accurate his word is. That is, how accurate God's prophetic word is. Said, we now have a president, Mr. Roosevelt. And this Mr. Roosevelt will cause the world to go into a world war through his, in his time of his administration here as president. And then said, and during this time, they have permitted women to vote, which will be cost to the nations. They'll elect the wrong man sometime. And they did the other day. Yeah. Think of that. He was talking of John F. Kennedy. Watch, I said. And there's three isms, Nazism, and fascism, and communism. And I said, keep your eyes on communism. It'll all head up in there. That is the second vision. For the third vision, he said, we will go to war with Germany. And Germany will be fortified behind concrete, a concrete wall, and will take an awful beating at this place. The American soldiers, the Maginot Line, 11 years before that wall was even built. See, exactly. And they took a serious beating at it, even though eventually they were able to overcome, As the prophet also predicted, the fourth vision said, this new dictator, Mussolini, that is of Italy, will take his first steps towards Ethiopia, and Ethiopia will fall at his feet. And did said, that will be his last. He led in disgrace. And he did. He was slaughtered and hung by his feet in a petrol station in Milan with his mistress. They were tied to the post and people were urinating on him. What a disgrace. Beaten up, killed there. People were spitting and urinating on him. It was a disgrace. The fifth vision. Then I said, it'll come to pass, before the end of time come, that there will be a great woman stand up in the United States, because United States is marked women. Her number is 13. And she'll rise up, either be president, or, I put it in parenthesis, perhaps the woman, being beautiful and attractive, will be the Catholic Church. But listen to what he said next of her own prophecy, but cruel at heart and she'll lead the nation to pollution. Note that. The sixth vision. And then it will come to pass that they'll have an automobile perfected unto a place, that I seen a family driving in an automobile that was glassed up and didn't have any steering wheel in it. It was. And I seen the other day, that in a popular mechanics, that the machine is already invented. They can take it anywhere you want to, by some sort of this radar control. Just set your pose to it, and it goes right on. You don't even need it. And it's glass topped. I said, then after the war, we'll finally win it. And after the war is over, it'll come to pass that science will be inventing great things. And I said, when they do, they'll make an automobile, and automobiles will continually shape down. You know what they look like in 33. Now, they'll become like eggs, look like an egg, and is another shape of cars today. It is. All modern cars are oval-shaped. All of them. I do not care whether it is a Honda, I do not care whether it is a Toyota or BMW, you name it, it is all oval-shaped. Now look at the seventh vision. Then I turned to look, and I seen the United States as a smoldering, something had burnt it up. Now, there were seven things spoke of what will happen. Five of them has already happened. There's two left to take place. It'll be that way. That's in the name of the Lord. It shall be that way. Brothers and sisters, you can get that in his message titled, Conference with God, preached on November the 25th, 1960. But I took his prophetic quote of the shaping down of cars from the Thyatrian Church Age, December the 8th, 1960. This brings me to the crux of my message. Saints of God, the prophet talked about a woman, and that is precisely where I am going. In the prophet's message titled, The Laodicean Church Age, December the 11th, 1960, he said, there will be a powerful woman. Now, remember, this is on tape. 2. A powerful woman, great woman. She'll either be president, or it'll be a woman representing the Catholic Church, which I think it is, will take over here someday, and she'll rule this country. This nation is a woman's nation. Flag was made by a woman. It's number 13. She started out, 13 stars, 13 stripes, 13 colonies. Everything's 13, 13, 13, right on down. 13 stars on a silver dollar now. Everything's a 13. It's number 13, and appears in the 13th chapter of Revelation. Completely 13. Everything is woman, 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 right on down. And she took over all the offices. She's took over Hollywood. She's took over the nation. She's took over the offices. She's took over everything there is. Equal rights with a man. Votes with a man. Curses like a man, drinks like a man, anything else. And just bait for the Catholic Church, for the worship of a woman. They were already worshipping a woman, anyhow. Again in his message titled, The Thyatrian Church Age, earlier referred to, he declared, there will be in that time, during the time the woman will be permitted to vote, and they'll elect the wrong person. During the time it'll come to pass that there will be a great woman rise up in the United States. She'll be beautifully dressed, and I got in parenthesis, perhaps the Catholic Church. See, that to take rulership over the power, overpower the others in the United States. She'll be beautiful to look at, but she'll be cruel-hearted as she can be. Right after that vision, the prophet was shown another prophetic vision, which is the seventh and final vision, a vision we laid out earlier. Then I looked again, and I saw the United States just blow to pieces. There wasn't nothing left on it. And I predicted then, now, this, that was thus saith the Lord. And think, five of those seven predictions has already happened. The church take a hold, the Catholic Church, and the coming of the end time. And I said, I seen, look like just stumps a burning, rocks blowed out, and the whole United States just look bare, laying like that, as far as I could see where I was standing. Church, the prophet saw the vision of a powerful woman rise in America. He did not know whether it would be a woman, or whether it represents the Roman Catholic Church. Today we must know it cannot be the Roman Catholic Church, because God has exposed the Roman Catholic Church in the United States for hypocrisy. The image of the church has been badly damaged because of the lewd, vile, and pretentious life of a priest who for centuries of time have engaged in child abuse, gross immorality, which the church has always covered up. Tens of millions of dollars have been awarded as damages to the victims in the United States, or settlements in many of these cases. The Roman Catholic Church has taken a serious beating in the United States, definitely. That leaves us with only one interpretation of this serious prophetic vision, a prophecy that is hanging right over America today, and it must come to pass, for thus saith the Lord cannot fail. Remember, seven visions he saw. Five have already been fulfilled, and to remain. And what are the remaining two? A woman rising up in America, and the judgment of America. I have news for you tonight. When Bill Clinton was ruling, he had a Jay-Z bell behind him. It was not even him ruling. She ruled. The Herodias of the modern time. It is just like Ahab. He would have done good if not for his wife, because he married Jay-Z Bell. And Jay-Z Bell ruled everything, including the church, and made her husband to do every wickedness you could imagine in Israel, because she was really the brain behind the government. She controlled the leaders of Israel. No man could stand against her, except Elijah the prophet. Jay-Z Bell is her name. And when Bill Clinton was ruling, she was the one ruling. Here reporters would report about ongoings in the White House, and how they would be cursing one another, the president and his wife, Bill and Hillary. And then Bill Clinton would come out after that, giving a smile to the nation. The chief apostle, Raymond Jackson, spoke a lot about Hillary Clinton and her highly perverted lifestyle, putting us on notice of this woman in relation to the vision of Brother Branham. And today she is running. She is going in for presidency. She is already in the Senate. Becoming a senator was a walkover election for her. She has captivated the American populace, and in her New York constituency, she has a crowd, for she holds sway. She is the woman to beat in the entire Democratic Party. She is in the forefront. And the Iraqi problem does not help the Republicans, does it? No. Saints of God, she launched her election campaign on the internet a few days back. I do not know who is going to stop Hillary Clinton. America has never been ruled by a woman, but God gave a vision to the prophet in 1933. As far back as 1933, 70-something years ago, about 74 years ago, this vision was given to the prophet concerning a woman rising up with great power, and she will be cruel, and will lead the nation to pollution. I would have to say, do not judge a man by their smiling face, because behind a smiling face can be a heart of steel. They can weep if the stake is right, but be as mean can be. Once they achieve their goal, their true character comes to the fore like a leopard spots, or like the smell of a skunk. In a book titled, The Big Sister is Watching You, Tex Mars, a former University of Texas professor, seriously exposed Hillary Clinton as a lesbian, and as a New Age occultist, one who is deep in witchcraft, and who communicates with the dead. He also portrayed her as a controlling feminist who told the president what to do for 8 years in the White House. he showed a photograph of Hillary Clinton, where she wore a lapel of the phoenix bird, a strange eagle-looking bird with a long strange neck, a symbol of witches. He also showed a photograph of Hillary Clinton kneeling down before witch doctors for their blessing. He also revealed that she is a practicing Illuminist or Illuminatist, a New Age cult, the Great White Brotherhood, a cult who believe in communicating with so-called dead masters. Such is the power and character she is bringing to the White House. America, behold your next president. Dick Morris, a former advisor to President Bill Clinton, stated on Fox News to host John Gibson that Hillary Clinton would change her name to Hillary Rodham, her maiden name, if elected President of the United States in the 2008 election. He said, she would not be another President Clinton. She would be President Rodham. I'll bet you that if she wins, that's what she has people call her. If she does, the implication of her name change will be serious, for it tells us the following. R-O-D-H-I-M gives you six letters, the number of man. If it is so, I have to ask, is her presidency the end for America, the night before her fall? Think of it. Moreover, R-O-D speaks of authority. It stands for political or spiritual rod of authority. This simply means leadership. But when we add H-I-M to R-O-D, it gives us Rodham, six letters, showing that we are living at this end time, in the days of the leadership of Ham, the leadership of the black race, for it gives us the input of Ham by prophetic implication, on a global scale. Remember, God has certain numbers in his numerology by which he speaks to man. Do not forget that. But when we add her first name with Rodham, it gives us H-I-L-L-I-R-O-D-H-A-M, 13 letters, the number of America, a nation in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, the book of Apocalypse. Think of it, saints. It is later than you think. You have to see the seriousness of the political development we are seeing today in the United States in the light of prophecy. Whilst editing the message, Brother Jerry Ovo brought the following quotes of Brother Branham to the attention of Brother Amos regarding the woman in prophecy, showing that she would either be the president or the vice president, quotes, which makes Brother Amos now believe that if Hillary Rodham Clinton does not make the presidency, she will definitely make the vice presidency, although he still thinks the former is what she would obtain. But whichever the case, Hillary Clinton will make it to the top. That is definite. The quotes now follow. Brother Branham declared thus, this is a woman's nation. It's the number 13. It appears in the 13th chapter of Revelation. 13 stars. 13 stripes. 13. Everything's a 13. Everything is a woman. And remember, thus saith the Lord, there will be a woman rule before the end time. She'll either be president, vice president, or it'll be the Catholic Church as a woman. I've seen her, a great woman. The nation bowed to her. It'll be one before the end time. Thus saith the Lord. Write it down and find out, you young people. See if it happens. If it isn't, I'm a false prophet. From the time, preached on the 16th of July, 1960, in Klamath Falls. Again the prophet declared prophetically, and I seen a woman lying, vulgar as she was, and dominated the country, and I predict that a woman will either be president, or do, or come into great power of some sort in the United States before the total annihilation of the world. Keep that in mind. God keeps his word, preached on the 20th of January, 1957, in Jeffersonville. Saints of God, as Brother Branham predicted, Hillary Rodham Clinton is well-dressed and has a smile. She has won the hearts of the New Yorkers. With ease, she went into the Senate on her way to the top. We knew she was going right to the top, and I said it back then that she is laying the ground for her bid for the White House, and now she is going right for it. She is the hottest Democratic candidate for the presidency, and church, she will make it to the top. It was 70-something odd years ago that a prophet to this age laid out this vision. A woman will rise, very powerful, in America, but she will be cruel, cold at heart, and very vile. She will lead the nation into corruption, and judgment will strike. Brothers and sisters, She is there as a great supporter and backer of the gays and lesbians, and what have you. They all flocked the White House when Bill Clinton was president. It was their day, it was their era, it was their reign, and it was her training ground. And when she gets in the presidency, the gays and lesbians will be in government. They will be the ones ruling, the lesbians, the homosexuals, and all the perverts Satan has on the ground. Indeed, darkness is taking over. That is what the nation wanted, and that is what they will have. No wonder Brother Branham was shouting back then, "Don't give the right to vote to women. They should stay in the home and take care of their houses, their husbands, and their children. Don't do that, because when you do that, they won't even know what their God-given role is anymore, and they won't want it anymore." He said that because the first responsibility of a woman is in the house, to take care of the house, to take care of the husband, and to take care of the children. And that is not the talk of a male chauvinist. That is the truth of the Word of God. Yes, I know today, things are no longer the same with men, economically, and we cannot reverse the trend of things, and as such, sometimes the woman has to walk to help her husband, with the permission of her husband. But in the beginning, the man was the breadwinner, and the woman stayed home to be catered for by her husband, that she may, in turn, take care of the home. And do not tell me about women's rights, for the woman herself sold her right to the devil in the Garden of Eden. Moreover, no true daughter of God can claim any such rights, knowing she has been bought with a price, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the will of the Lord is her will. She has no right outside the things the revelation of Christ permits, for she is a virgin of Christ. But brothers and sisters, the Second World War situation demanded that the women helped in the factories when the men had been shipped to war. The Second World War created a crucial need for workers in the factories, from which all the armory needed for the soldiers were to be churned out. As such, the women had to go to work. But did they go back home after the war? No. They had tasted work, and they had tasted how to earn dollars. They should have returned to the home, but they were not going to go back. And then there came a push for women's independence and equal rights. But now they have a woman at the top. She is going right to the very top. I do not know what will stop that woman, except she is not the woman Brother Branham saw in the vision. But then I would have to ask you, when did a woman ever smell the presidency in the continent? When did America ever have such a woman contending for the presidency in the caliber of Hillary Clinton? Since her beginning, it has never been. But now they have a woman who is not struggling at the back. She is in the forefront of those running for the presidency. She is even the person to beat in that entire party. And the Republicans, they have lost the confidence of the nation because of the Iraqi war. There is one African-American that is also running, Senator Obama. He has clout in the Senate and is greatly loved and respected, but he has no experience for the post he is gunning for. But the emergence of Barack Obama as a serious frontline contender in the Democratic Party for the presidency of the United States just lets you see that truly, we are living in the days of the input of Ham, the input of the black race. You have to see that, whether you look at it in the natural, or you take it in the spiritual. The signs are the same, and tell the same story. These are the days of the lineage of Ham. We are at the end. Church, why am I going into this issue? It is to let you know it is later than you think. It is later than you think. Today, it is obvious the woman Brother Branham saw in his vision back then is not the Roman Catholic Church. It is actually a woman who would run for the presidency and would end up being the president or the vice president of that nation, the first woman president or vice president of the United States. Behold Hillary Clinton. And church, she will take that nation straight down to hell. Every spirit of perversion will have a heyday. Moreover, she is more stone-hearted and cold-hearted and iron-hearted than iron itself, because you can at least melt iron. But when a woman has such a will like that, no wonder Brother Branham laid it out in the seven church ages that when a woman has an iron disposition, a dominating spirit, it is a curse, for it is perversion. for a woman to have an iron disposition, a dominating spirit, a dominating female, is a perversion, is a cause. She is supposed to be submissive and be under the rulership of her husband. But it is perversion for a woman to have an iron spirit, an iron disposition. She should be submissive to and under the rulership of a man, under Christ, even as 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3 says, a woman should have the virtuous attributes of a meek and humble spirit. They used to call one woman many years ago, a woman who once ruled Britain, Iron Lady. She is Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister. You could not tell her anything. She was stronger than the men in her party, and she turned them into more or less puppies. Truly, she was an Iron Lady. Church, it is later than you think. Something is fixing to happen. Two visions of the prophet remain on the American nation for fulfillment. The one about a woman rising up with great power, and the other of the judgment of America. The sixth vision is on its way to fulfillment. It remains just one more. The judgment of America. And church, that woman, Hillary Clinton, is going to take that nation down, low down. And when it is taken down, it is then the bubble will burst. That will activate the third and final American conflict, the worst of all the conflicts, a conflict that will fulfill the vision of George Washington and that of William Branham, for they relate to the same judgment. This is a vision that George Washington had as far back as 1777. The following, titled, He Anticipated the Future Course of America, was originally published by Wesley Bradshaw and copied from a reprint in the National Tribune, Volume 4, and Number 12, dated December 1880. I took it from the pamphlet of George Washington's vision, given by Faith Assembly, when Brother Jackson was still on the ground. It read thus, The last time I ever saw Anthony Sherman was on the 4th of July, 1859 in Independence Square. He was then 99 years old. His demon eyes rekindled as he gazed upon Independence Hall, which he had come to visit once more. I want to tell you an incident of Washington's life, one which no one alive knows of except myself, and which, if you live, you will before long see verified. Washington, a man of prayer. He said, From the opening of the Revolution, we experienced all phases of fortune, good and ill. The darkest period we ever had, I think, was when Washington, after several reverses, retreated to Valley Forge, where he resolved to pass the winter of 1777. I often saw the tears coursing down our dire commander's care and cheeks as he conversed with a confidential officer about the condition of his soldiers. You have doubtless heard the story of Washington's going to the thicket to pray. Well, he also used to pray to God in secret for aid and comfort. A vision of future events. One day, I remember well, the chilly winds whistled through the leafless trees. Though the sky was cloudless and the sun shone brightly, he remained alone in his quarters nearly all afternoon. When he came out, I noticed that his face was a shade paler than usual, and there seemed to be something in his mind of more than ordinary importance. Returning just after dusk, he dispatched an orderly to the quarters of the officer I mentioned who was in attendance at the time. After a preliminary conversation of about half an hour, Washington, gazing upon his companion with that strange look of dignity that he alone could command, said to the latter, I do not know whether it is due to the anxiety of my mind or what, but this afternoon as I was preparing a dispatch, something seemed to disturb me. Looking up, I beheld, standing opposite me, a singularly beautiful being. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was some moments before I found language to inquire the cause of the visit. A second, a third, and even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from a mysterious visitor, except a slight raising of the eye. By this time, I felt strange sensations spreading through me, and I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. I essayed once more to speak, but my tongue had become useless, as though it had become paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession. All I could do was to gaze steadily, vacantly at my unknown visitor. Gradually, the surrounding atmosphere seemed to become filled with sensations and grew luminous. Everything about me seemed to rarefy, including the mysterious visitor. I began to feel as one dying, or rather to experience the sensations which I have sometimes imagined accompany dissolution. I did not think. I did not reason. I did not move. All were alike impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixedly, vacantly at my companion. Settlement in expansion of the United States. Presently, I heard a voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn," while at the same time my visitor extended an arm eastwardly. I now beheld a heavy vapor at some distance rising fold upon fold. This gradually dissipated, and I looked out upon a strange scene. Before me lay spread out in one vast plan all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. I saw rolling and tossing between Europe and America the billows of the Atlantic, and between Asia and America lay the Pacific. The Revolutionary War, America's first conflict. "Son of the Republic," said the same mysterious voice as before, "look and learn." At that moment, I beheld a dark, shadowy being as an angel standing, or rather floating, in mid-air between Europe and America, dipping water out of the ocean in the hollow of his hand. He cast some on Europe. Immediately a cloud raised from the countries and joined in mid-ocean. For a while it remained stationary, and then moved slowly westward until it enveloped America in its murky folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed through it at intervals, and I heard the smothered groans and cries of the American people. A second time the angel dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it out as before. The dark cloud was then drawn back to the ocean, in whose billows it sank from view. A third time I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." I cast my eyes upon America and beheld villages and towns and cities spring up one after another until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with them. The Civil War anticipated. America's second conflict. Again, I heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, the end of the century comet, look and learn." And this time the dark, shadowy angel turned his face southward, and from Africa I saw an illumined specter approach our land. It filtered slowly over every town and city of the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle against each other. As I continued looking, I saw a bright angel, on whose brow rested a crown of light on which was traced the word Union, bearing the American flag, which he placed between the divided nation. He said, "Remember, ye brethren." Instantly the inhabitants, casting down their weapons, became friends once more, and united around the national standard. America to be invaded by foreign foes, America's third and final conflict. Again, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At this the dark, shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his lips and blew three distinct blasts, and taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it on Europe, Asia, and Africa. Then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these countries arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one, and throughout this mass gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men, who, moving with the cloud, marched by land and sailed by the sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of cloud. And I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities that I beheld springing up. As my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, the slashing of words, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." When the voice had ceased, the dark angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a fearful blast. This should let us know. The enemy America is fighting today is already within. The enemy is within. They are now part and parcel of the American society. But they have an objective, a very evil objective, to destroy the nation. Some have the Islamic Jihad as their objective, some racial, some ideological, while some have economic objectives, all which together will combine to precipitate this social/economic/religious conflict, the third and most violent and devastating conflict America will ever face. Our country emerges a victor. Instantly, a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above me, and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. At the same moment, the angel upon whose head stood shone the word Union, and who bore a national flag in one hand and a sword in the other, descended from the heavens attended by legions of white spirits. This immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who, immediately taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Again, amid the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, Son of the Republic, look and learn. As the voice ceased, the shadowy angel for the last time dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back, together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. A period of reconstruction. Then once more, I beheld the villages, towns and cities springing up where I seen them before, while the bright angel, planting the oil standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, While the stars remain, and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the Union last. And taking from his brow the crown on which blazoned the word, Union, he placed it upon the standard while the people, kneeling down, said, Amen. Divine intervention. The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and I, at last, saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I had at first beheld. This also disappeared, and I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor, who in the same voice I had heard before said, Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful is the third. The help against the third peril comes in the shape of divine assistance, passing which the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and his Union. With these words the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown me the birth, the progress, and the destiny of the United States. Such, my friends, said the venerable narrator, were the words I heard from Washington's own lips, and America will do well to profit by them. Let me say this. We may fool ourselves and push these things to the distant future, but all the signs clearly reveal we are at the very end, for the coming of the Lord is evidently at the door. I therefore have to ask, who knows the end result of this Iraqi war on the American nation? Could it be the crippling and excruciating effects of that war that might be the last straw to bring along the nation's final conflict? I do not know. I am just thinking. Could it be? Because the effects, the human and financial toll the Iraqi war is having on the American society, and on her economy, and on her soldiers and their families, is tremendous. The war being sustained, the security being sustained in Iraq, the soldiers being sustained in Iraq, is draining America out billions of dollars by the month. Billions of dollars per month, of the taxpayers' money. How long can a country, which is the greatest deficit nation on earth, sustain that? How long can she hold, before things eventually collapse? The infrastructure of the nation is old and in decadence, ready to collapse, nationally. Moreover, they have job cuts every day, and they are even taking away jobs, and taking it abroad. Job cuts every day job cuts, businesses being shipped abroad. No wonder, when a man is sacked, and he has a family to feed, and he looks up and down, and he does not even know where to go, he gets frustrated and depressed, and in his frustration, the devil takes hold of him in his vulnerable condition, and he decides to do something. Just look at department stores like Walmart. They are stifling individual enterprises, taking over everything. They are selling everything from groceries, are you with me, to clothes, to electronics, to food, to medical drugs, name it. So the likes of Walmart is driving away the smaller businesses run by the common people, and brothers and sisters, it is closing up the shops of individual entrepreneurs. Are you with me? As such, in their frustration and depression, some people do not know where to go or what to do. That is why, brothers and sisters, a man who has not the grace of God in his life, a man without Christ in his life, wakes up in the morning. This is in America, and he carries a bazooka under his clothes, and he goes. Where does he go? He goes to Kentucky Fried Chicken, or the department store. He simply stands at the door, looking at the people and thinking, "You are eating and I have not eaten. You are shopping and I don't have a dime." He brings out his shotgun and creates mayhem in broad daylight. By the time he is done, dozens are dead and many wounded. American society. But they know it all, they have it all, yes. They have all of the devil too. How close to the end we are. How late it is. Let us live for the Lord. When you look at all these things, these are signs and pointers. These are the seven visions Brother Branham saw that made him believe or think that by 1977, everything should be wrapped up. He said, five of them having fulfilled, and knowing that thus saith the Lord, cannot fail, two more remain. I predict, not the Lord said, but I predict that by the year 1977, it should be all over. The two visions have not fulfilled yet, but the sixth one is right in front of us. President Roosevelt led the United States into the Second World War. He eventually won against Hitler's Germany, but he first took a beating in Germany at the Maginot Line, the Maginot War. The three isms are all winding up in communism. The two other isms are dead, Nazism and fascism, and communist China, as the leader of the kings of the East, in prophecy, is coming against the West in the Third World War, prophetically called the Battle of Armageddon. Look at even Latin America. They are joining communism, following the way of Fidel Castro. And this Venezuelan president, that loud-mouthed man, Hugo Chavez, is leading the way now, following the footsteps of his mentor, Fidel Castro. He is now leading many Latin American countries to follow the way of communism. Yet, communism does no good for their people because they are impoverished, oppressed, and suppressed, and the ruling classes are the ones enjoying everything. Brothers and sisters, what a world we live in. It is the end. The rise of a woman in America is a serious prophetic sign of the very end. Her presidency will lead to the judgment of America, for she must be judged. The election of a woman president or vice president will lead the nation to that. And by America's third and final conflict, the worst conflict ever for her, the imperialistic and anti-God attitude, her dragon attributes, will be stripped from her, to return her to a general lamb-like, God-fearing nature. And the society in general will be cleaned up by God, to prepare her to receive the spiritual element of the nation of Israel, the woman of Revelation chapter 12. The fulfillment of the sixth vision of Brother Branham will pave the way for fulfillment of the seventh and final vision, a vision which harmonizes with George Washington's vision. How late are we? Time indeed is short. It is very short, for it is later than you think. Something is going on. Open your eyes. I plead with you, let us just live for the Lord. His coming is at the door. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your grace. Father, we really can confess we are tired of this world, because all we see is evil, injustice, and wickedness, immorality, violence, crookedness, poverty, diseases, and disasters on every hand. Only your coming is the solution. Keep us near the cross. Bless every brother. Bless every sister. Bless the Bride of Christ Universal. Keep us in the light. Prepare us for thy glorious coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you.